3:34, got you downtown on a Monday. Rich Kimball, Ryan Wehning here.
It's the time of the season when love runs high.
Oh, man, is it the time of the season? Patriots, Maine football, playoff baseball, hockey, basketball getting rolling. Heady times indeed to focus on the Patriots right now. And maybe some Red Sox, too, because he loves them. We're joined on the phone by our friend Nick Coit of ABC6 in Providence. Nick, how are you, sir?
Well, you know what? You said it perfectly, Rich. I'm great, first of all. Hope you're doing well up there as well. But my head is spinning for this time of the season because, as you said, there is a lot going on. And, yeah, it's really starting to pick up around here.
Well, let's start with what happened yesterday at Gillette. Well, a little history. That's always nice. First time shut out there since 1993. Will all that, at least, if nothing else, make Rex Ryan shut up for a little while?
Well, you know what? No, it satisfies him, and he'll keep going now. That's the bad thing. That head just got bigger. But, I, you know what? I think to Rex's credit, I can't believe I'm saying that, but to Rex's credit, even though post-game he walked in yesterday and he was pumping his chest, he also said during that post-game press conference yesterday that, listen, Tom Brady wasn't out there. And, you know, I don't care if it's Jacoby Brissett or Jimmy Garoppolo, whoever it is, not Tom Brady. So he knows that he got a victory and he knows it's, you know, nice to stick it to the Patriots for him, but he knows that, you know, next time around there's going to be a guy wearing number 12 on the field too, so... yeah, he could bump his chest and he'll keep going, but it'll be fun next time around for sure, too.
Well, yeah, the offense certainly struggled, and it sure didn't look like Brissett was at 100%. Wide receivers, non-existent. Gronk only got targeted twice. And then worst of all, I think, what were they, 1-for-12 on third downs?
It was atrocious. I mean, it was a bad day. That first half, too, was probably one of the worst halves of football I've ever seen the Patriots play in that stadium. I mean, it was just... the penalties just came at the worst times. The missed tackles were just baffling. I mean, it just, you know, listen, Tyrod Taylor played a good game. Shady McCoy's always been a great running back. They just seemed a little more elusive than usual yesterday. Maybe it was just because Patriots were just missing tackles so bad. It was just not a good, and the special teams, too. I mean, I said it yesterday after the game on our newscast that I thought the tone was set from the first play of the game. The kickoff went to Cyrus Jones, and he was standing halfway in the end zone, and he didn't know if he should take a knee or not. And then he ran it out, and then they only got about 10 yards out of it maybe. So it sort of was like, oh boy, okay, Patriots going to hesitate today. It's not going to be a good day. It was a bad omen. So all around, just a bad day for the Patriots. And listen, nobody's perfect. No team is perfect. So it's going to happen every once in a while.
It is. What you don't usually see, though, with a Bill Belichick team, the sloppiness that we saw yesterday.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, and even through the first three games, what really helped them and really helped, you know, having a second and third string quarterback in there was that the rest of the team was playing well. And usually on 10 days rest, too, you think, man, the Patriots are going to come out firing, but... hey, like I said, some days you just don't have a good day. And you know, Rich, to be honest, I really think that the Patriots thought they might have Jimmy Garoppolo for this game, and maybe they tested out that shoulder late in the week and said, I don't know, and they sort of had to call an audible in terms of what they were doing for the game plan. And, you know, obviously they had Jacoby Brissett, but he also had a bad thumb, so... you know, not making excuses. I'm just saying that, you know, maybe just it sort of caught them off guard, and maybe that sort of snowballed into having a bad game on Sunday.
We're talking with Nick Coit, ABC6 in Providence. But all said and done, they are, I think, about what people thought they would be. Maybe even the most optimistic view was 3-1 for the non-Brady game. So they're in great shape. The rest of the division, the Bills still don't look like world beaters out there. And so now here they go off to Cleveland with not only Tom Brady back, but also the return of Rob Ninkovich.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, I said it before the suspension. I thought it would be a 3-1 stretch for the Patriots. I thought it would go the opposite way. I thought they'd lose the first and then win the next three. Obviously went different ways. But yeah, if you said 3-1 before the suspension, I think a lot of people in New England would have been very happy, and especially being a game ahead of anybody in the division. The Jets seem to just be struggling right now. Ryan Fitzpatrick is throwing it to the wrong color uniform. The Dolphins are struggling on offense, especially with all those weapons. And the Bills, you're right, they don't look like world beaters. And now you get Tom Brady back, you get Rob Ninkovich back, and I mean, Hugh Jackson already today in Cleveland is saying, like, oh, I know, Tom Brady's back. Like, uh-oh, here they come. Here comes the freight train. Here comes a motivated Brady. So, yeah, I think it's a great spot for the Patriots to be in. And going into Cleveland, I think the team is going to be feeling good, especially seeing some of the tweets today and the reaction. I mean, Julian Edelman, the bromance is back. He's already tweeting hashtag free. Uh-oh, here comes Brady. So. There's a lot of good vibes, I think, down at Foxborough today.
Absolutely. And now all of a sudden the focus for New England sports shifts entirely to Cleveland with the Patriots headed there and the Red Sox off at Progressive Field. Let's talk about them a little bit, Nick. What did you think, first of all, of the weekend celebration of David Ortiz?
I thought it was very classy. I thought it was fantastic. And listen, I know it was it's been a big old love fest for Poppy, and I think a lot of Red Sox fans are like, okay, we love them, you know, okay, let's keep playing baseball here. And I think that's a good problem to have, is that, you know, we're celebrating Ortiz, but we knew over the weekend, like, you know, we love all these ceremonies, but we know we're going to get to see more Big Poppy. We know we're going to get to see the Red Sox in the playoffs, and I think that's what really made it a special weekend. And I thought yesterday's ceremony was just fantastic, with all the former teammates coming back. And I thought the tears from Poppy, he's just such a genuine guy, the speech on the field, and it just, there was a mutual respect, mutual love for Big Poppy, so I thought it was a great weekend. And again, I think what Red Sox fans take comfort in is the fact that, okay, starting Thursday, we've got some more Big Poppy, we've got some more baseball coming because the Sox are in the playoffs, finally, for the first time in 3 years.
Yeah, and up against old friend Tito Francona, which will be great. But kind of a shell of the Cleveland team that's been so good most of the season. When you got to trot out Trevor Bauer as your game one starter, not that he can't get hot and turn into great performance, but I like the Red Sox chances in this series better than I might have 3 or 4 weeks ago.
I agree with you. And I think the Red Sox, the way the rotation's set up, the way that things are set up, playing out, obviously the Red Sox obviously limped into the playoffs here with losing 5 of the last 6, but whenever they clinch the division, they're in there, and Cleveland's hurting more because they're missing Carrasco and Salazar, and their pitching staff is a little banged up. But you said the name, Terry Francona, and the guy's got 2 World Series to his credit. He's taken a franchise here in Cleveland to the playoffs 2 of the last 4 years now, so you can't underestimate. We know how good Tito is. We know how good of a manager he is. We know he can rally his troops. So the Red Sox can't take the Indians lightly. They won the division. They won't take them lightly. I know that. And it's going to be a fun series either way, because Cleveland can score in a lot of different ways, too, offensively. So you've got a high-powered offense with the Sox, and then you've got a team that can do a lot of different things. And so it's going to be a really, really fun series, that's for sure.
Hey, for you, Nick, who's the MVP of this bunch?
Ooh, for the Red Sox?
Yeah.
It has to – I mean, David Ortiz, to me, I mean, the guy is 40 years old, and he is, you know, putting up the numbers that he's putting up. I mean, it's insane. I love what Mookie Betts has done this year and given them in so many different ways. I think Hanley Ramirez has been the big surprise, because last year he's one of those guys, when things are going bad, he makes them worse, and when things are going good, he makes them better, and he's made them better this year. You know, had 30-100, so... But I give it to David Ortiz, just because he's the heart and soul of this team. I think this team wants to get to the World Series for him. He's motivated the troops in that way. And to get it from a guy that's 40 years old is just, it's, you sit here and laugh about it because you just didn't think it was possible. But he's made it possible, for sure.
Nick, you're a good word guy, so I ask you this. How would you describe whatever Manny Ramirez has done to his hair?
Oh, man. It's a combination of a checkerboard and a man bun. I don't know. Checker bun? I guess. I don't know. I looked at it yesterday. I'm like, what is he doing? But you know what? It's just Manny being Manny, right?
That never changes. No doubt about that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. It was fun to see him there yesterday, too. That was pretty cool.
Now, also, before we let you go, Nick, you are, well, you're a lot younger than me and better looking and all those things. But I wonder, for me, the departure, the retirement of Vin Scully really hit home. Now, I didn't get to listen or watch a lot of his broadcasts, but with the MLB package, I always check out at times during the season, perhaps more so this year. But how does he resonate with younger broadcasters? Do you look at him in, with the same fondness and affection and respect that us grizzled old veterans do?
Well, I'm a baseball fan, so in general. So I obviously have, you know, an affection for anybody that's around the game or has been around the game as long as he has. And I'll tell you a story. I went to Los Angeles on a vacation last summer for the first time. I'd never been to L.A. and stayed with a buddy for a week. And we went on a Saturday night. We went to a Dodgers game. And it really hit home for me. And it really was just it was a thrill to be walking around a stadium like that I'd never been to, and I'm listening, and I just hear this soothing sound of Vin Scully's voice calling a baseball game, and I was walking around the facade of the stadium, and I just stopped for a second, like, man, that's cool. You know, it's just, you appreciate the guy and the history. He's been around since the Brooklyn Dodgers were around. I mean, that he followed the team that long. I mean, it's, and him and even Dick Enberg, too, you love hearing that guy's voice calling a baseball game, calling any sporting event. So I think you can appreciate the history. You have to appreciate the history because these guys have been doing it so long. And, you know, I may be a younger broadcaster, but I appreciate and respect my elders that have come before me. And I think of a name when I was up there in Maine, that guy named George Hale was a guy that I respected and had a lot of great stories, too. So, yeah, it's fun to hear that, and fun to hear how much the business has gone from when they started to where it is now, because it's a completely different landscape.
I saw a great tweet yesterday. Queen Elizabeth is the longest tenured queen or king, I guess, in the history of England, and Scully's been doing his job for two more years than her.
Oh, man. Wow. I mean, he is a king in his own right.
He is. And
broadcasting, that's for sure.
And I think you could argue maybe had a better tenure. Nothing on Queen Elizabeth. She's fine, but she's no Vin Scully.
She doesn't have that soothing, sultry voice, that's for sure.
No. Welcome to England. No, that's just not the same as Vin. No, it doesn't get it done for me. Hey, Nick, always great talking with you, my friend. Thanks for making time for us this afternoon. Enjoy this next couple of weeks with so much going on, and we'll catch you later on in the fall.
I will do, and before I go, I want to say that I will be in Cleveland this week. Officially, I'm going to games 1 and 2 of the ALDS, and I'm going to Cleveland on Sunday for the return of Tom Brady. So follow me on Twitter. I'll give my shameless plug here at Nick Coyd. I'll be following everything going on in Cleveland this week, and I want to give a shout-out to you, Rich. I listened to some of the Bryant Maine football broadcast over the weekend. And as always, speaking of sultry sounds and great voices, did a great job.
Thank you, Nick. I appreciate that. Have fun in Cleveland, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Rich.
You got it. It's Nick Coyd, ABC6 in Providence. Again, follow him on Twitter as well and see what he's doing out there.